Truthfully, as bad as it sounds, I actually didn't know the game was today.
That's right. Welcome, everybody, to the finale of the GSL podcast. This is the last episode for this season. Will it be the last episode in general? More on that later. But crazy packed episode today, full of great stuff to talk about, including recapping the finals, an amazing game between Lotolim and Aguada. We'll have a full recap for you, looking back on the season, how it went. And finally, I'll also have some post-match interviews after the finals with a number of players. So a lot to look forward to this episode. I want to start off first by saying thank you to a number of people that made this podcast possible. The first person I'd like to thank is my editor. Yes, I actually do have an editor. And I won't name names, but just wanted to say thank you so much for all your hard work. Without you, the episodes wouldn't be possible and they would be a lot worse than they are. So thanks to my editor. Also, keeping up with anonymity, I'd like to thank the GSL Insider for all their inside information. I'll be revealing who the GSL Insider is at the end of this episode. No, I'm just kidding. I'm never going to reveal who the GSL Insider is. I'd also like to thank the Executive Committee. They showed a lot of support to the podcast this year. And also, I had a great time at the finals, doing a live podcast, interacting with the fans, interacting with the players. It was just a really, really great time, I think, for everyone that was at the finals, because the executive does a great job putting on a good show, handing out awards, making sure everything's smooth and running on time. So big props to the executive. Hopefully next year they'll be bringing back the league stronger than ever. We get a couple more teams registered, get some new players in, and I think that the league can just keep going and going for now. I'd also like to thank all the guests that came on the Pecora and also the podcast in general. You know, they took some time out of their day to come on the show, give their thoughts or compete. And I think it adds a lot to the show having guests. So something that I'm really passionate about, getting people involved and trying to get as many people on as possible. So definitely thank you to everyone that came on, all the guests, and I really appreciate that. Finally, the last people I need to thank is you, the listeners. As I mentioned in the first episode, I made this for fun, just to kind of give a central voice to the GSL and somewhere that everyone could go to hear updates on the league and maybe some funny stories and analysis. But it ended up blowing up a lot bigger than I thought. I'm happy to say we recently, on the last episode, hit our over 3,000 plays now on the podcast. So definitely getting the word out, and people are listening and coming back. So really appreciate your support. And for that reason, I'm happy to say the GSL podcast will be returning for season two. I'll have to figure out my schedule next year because I am on surgery service at the hospital. And also, I'm getting married. But let's be real, GSL podcast, number one priority all day, every day. But not actually every day, probably just, you know, the same old once a week on Wednesday, maybe once every other week. We'll figure it out next year when we get to that. All right, now that I've thanked all you guys, let's get into the recap of the finals. The first thing I'm going to say is this finals was amazing. It was one for the books, definitely the best finals in recent memory. And I just want to say that if you weren't at the finals, you missed out big time. For regular fans and even casual fans, I would always mark down the date of the finals and make sure you come there, because no matter who the teams are, the fan bases show up. There's always a big crowd. It's just a great atmosphere. It's the final game of the season. And it was just, once again, this year, just a great, great event. So definitely for next year, do not miss the finals. Even if your team doesn't make it there, it's still worth going. Like, obviously, my team, Aldana, did not make it to the finals. But it's still a really, really great time to go and watch two of the best teams compete, see who can come out on top, and just experience it with all the fans. So hope to see you all there next year. So I was at the game and I wrote down a bunch of talking points from the finals, so kind of break it down. Starting off at the beginning of the game, it's worth noting that both teams came out very strong and it was a very even game at the beginning, with Aguada kind of having the early edge and the early jump on chances. So I think they'll be very pleased with how they started, but as the game went on and on, Lotolim slowly started clawing their way back in the game, and then eventually around the beginning of the second half, Lotolim was actually dominating the game. But the final score was 3-2 for Aguada. And I'm going to break down how this happened, what caused the goals, what could have been prevented, and just overall how Aguada won this game. Because even I predicted Lotolim to win. This is the third time Aguada has gone against an undefeated team in the finals, and they've won all three times. It's an absolutely amazing record. And I even said last episode that Aguada, they just keep winning somehow, and I keep predicting against them, but they keep winning. And I even mentioned that maybe this time I should predict for them because it's very unexpected and that's what they do. But I just couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that Lotulim, an undefeated team, first place seed, could come in and lose to Aguada, who wasn't even at full strength. They didn't have Ian Fernandez. They didn't even have their goalkeeper, who, as you know, was voted as the number one goalie in the league. So they were playing slightly shorthanded, but I'll break down how it happened and what they did to win. One of the weaknesses of Lotulim that everyone has always tried to exploit is their lack of defense and goaltending. This is an area that they strengthened this year because Keegan slotted back to central defense along with Josh. And although Josh has been there for a while, he hasn't been the most consistent and strongest defenders, but you can tell each season he's getting better and better. And I think this season he established himself as a very reliable central defender. Keegan's actually not a central defender. He doesn't have the height, he doesn't have the strength, but what he has is he's an incredibly smart player. So the way he can get over his lack of defensive ability is using his knowledge of the game, his game sense positioning. He puts himself in places where he knows the threats are. He has great control on the ball. He can actually help move the ball forward, play passes well to the midfielders and the wings. So he's kind of more like a playmaking central defender, but this can be exploited by a very strong striker, a very physical striker, or a very tall striker. And that's where Josh kind of complements him, as he is taller. He's great at heading the ball out, clearing the ball out. So they make a good tandem pair. Unfortunately, what happened is in the first half, Aguada was pressing and they managed to get a corner. And when the corner was taken, it went all the way across the net. And even the goalkeeper, Croydon, from Aguada was yelling, "Put someone on the keeper, put someone on the keeper." So there was a player on Brylan, and Brylan ran out to grab the ball. But he jumped and it went off the top of his hands and then fell behind him, where Jordash Dos Remedios was there to head the ball in. So this has to go down as a goalkeeping error. Although it was great positioning by Jordash and a good finish, the ball never should have reached him, as either the goalie could either catch the ball completely or punch it out, or a defender maybe could have got to it better and headed it out. But I think this was goalkeeping error that led to the first goal, and Aguada took a 1-0 lead. This was a score at 1-0, and then the following play kind of highlighted what I said was the main matchup of the day, which was in the center midfield, Cruyff, Dos Remedios versus Neil Da Silva. Both MVP candidates, as far as I'm concerned. They both had great season. Cruyff kind of having increased play and better play towards the end of the season, especially in the playoffs, whereas Neil was steady and consistent throughout the entire season and had a high level of play. So you could see from the matchup that I think Cruyff was winning this matchup, and what I mean by that is Cruyff was getting very involved in the game. He was constantly running to the ball, receiving the ball, making plays, making passes. And although I've played against Cruyff for many years, this was the first game I just sat down and watched him for 90 minutes. And you really come to appreciate how good his touch is, how good his control is. And the best part is, it's very hard to get the ball off of him. He shields the ball well, and that allows his teammates to get in good positions and for him to pick the best pass that he wants to make. Neil, on the other hand, while he was playing well, he wasn't playing to the highest level he's capable of. And what I mean by that is he wasn't impacting the game as much as he could have. It's not like he was caught from the ball. He wasn't making mistakes. He had great defensive clearances, headers, or kicking the ball out. But Neil is such a talented player that in order for Lotulim to strive, he needs to get involved to the point where making plays in the center midfield, whether it's through balls, pushing up, taking shots, executing in the final third. And he was playing very conservatively as a defensive midfielder, and I think that's what was hurting him in the beginning. Also, to compound the kind of mismatch of performances, was near the end of the first half, actually at around the 40th minute, Aaron Atwal dribbled in the box of Aguada and was tackled and went down, and a penalty was given. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's Aaron Atwal again, getting a penalty in the playoffs. Unfortunately, I didn't have the best view of this incident. I know the Aguada fans were yelling, he dived, but obviously, I think they're going to yell that no matter what. From my point of view, I didn't get the best angle on the actual tackle, so it's very hard for me to say, but this is what I mean about the problem about having a reputation. Now, Aaron does not have a reputation for diving. I'm not saying that at all, because he doesn't. But the thing is, because he's done it in the past and people will start to associate him with that, you will no longer get the benefit of the doubt. And once you lose the benefit of the doubt, it's almost impossible to get it back. So for example, if it was Keegan in the box and Keegan got fouled and went down, unless I saw it myself, like up close and personal, I would never think Keegan would dive, because he's just not that type of player. He's a very honest, upright. He values the integrity of the game. He's just not the type of person to dive. Whereas for some other players like Aaron or Craig, they seem to take it more liberally when it comes in the box. And this actually happened to Craig in the second half, where he received the ball on the left-hand side, and he's got great footwork. And what I was actually thinking at the time was, his footwork is incredible. He's got great control on the ball. He's got great moves. The defense had no idea what to do with him. He was like, he was literally spinning them in circles. They couldn't figure out which way he was going. And he actually deked by about four or five Aguada players to get all the way in the box. But then, unfortunately, he lost control. He took one touch too many, and the ball kind of rolled away from him. The Aguada guy tackled it. And then he just dived to the ground, like, for no reason. So I think that if they can eliminate this part of the game, both of them are such huge, talented players that if they can just eliminate that portion of the game, stay on their feet, they can get rid of their reputation, and they can both develop into two stars of this league. But it's concerning in the finals, once again, you know, having these incidents. It just kind of ruins the atmosphere that way. That being said, a penalty was awarded, and up steps Neil to take it. And he tried a stutter step to psych out the goalie, Croydon. But the thing about Croydon is he's very good at penalties. He doesn't fall for the tricks or the moves. So when Neil stutter stepped, Croydon didn't move at all. He waited for the penalty, and Neil hit it to the left. But he actually missed the net. It went wide left of the post. So a huge break for Aguada, keeping their lead at 1-0. And you could tell they were really, really trying to get to half 1-0. With 1 minute to go in the half, there was a foul on a Lotulim player that led to a cross into the box. Great cross from Nick Da Silva, swinging the ball in. And the aforementioned Josh, central defender, ran in and headed the ball past Croydon and into the net. I think this is a goal that was, it was a nice cross and a nice header by Josh. I think if Andrew D'Souza was in net, it might not go in because there seemed to be some kind of bumbling around with the ball in the box before it went in. But that being said, a good equalizer from Lotulim and a huge momentum swing because going into the half 1-1 versus down 1-0 was a big, big difference. Moving on to the second half, this is when I said Lotulim started to up their game and they started to get more into the game and started dominating. And I think it's important to know at this point the different fan bases that showed up. So both teams had a relatively good turnout. The Aguada fans were getting louder and louder as the game went on, but it was usually mostly just in relation to calls or goals, things like that. In between, they were relatively quiet. Whereas the Lotulim fans, as I gave them credit already last episode when I gave them, you know, the best fan base in the GSL, but being at the finals and being around them, it just reaffirmed everything I mentioned. They are a great fan base. And I realized what makes them great is they're really invested in the game. They're not just there and cheering and yelling and things like that. If you watch them, they're actually watching the game and they make comments on plays. And the best part is they're not afraid to rip on their own team. They're not like one of those teams that's just like, oh, nice try, great job, great idea. So for example, at one point, Lotulim was passing around the back and Josh went to clear it, but he miscleared it. He miskicked it and went to right to a Aguada play that almost went on a breakaway. And the Lotulim fans were yelling at him. They're like, Josh, what are you doing? Smarten up. Don't ever do that again. Play it on the wings next time. Like, they're very involved in the game, and they're very knowledgeable at the game. So huge shout out to Lotulim fans. And I think their constant cheering, their constant support was really picking up Lotulim, because in the second half, they started to dominate. And this led to one of the most beautiful goals I've seen this year. Aaron Atwal getting the ball in the middle, faking right, going to the left, and then just blasting it top left corner. And it literally went right in the top left corner, completely unsavable by any goalie in this league for sure, and putting Lotulim up 2-1. So an amazing goal by him. And at that point, you were thinking Lotulim's dominating and starting to get away from Aguada. They had a great first half and showing then, but now the game's starting to slip away from them. And once again, I counted them out. This is where I have to highlight that Aguada tactically had an absolute masterclass in this game. And what I mean by that is everything Aguada did stemmed from how they shaped their defense. And it's weird to think because in a 3-2 game, there's a lot of goals and they obviously had to score a lot of goals. But basically what Aguada did is they had Clayton DeMello in central defense and they put Casey DeMello along with them. And this is kind of similar to what I said before with Keegan and Josh, whereas Casey's, you know, a tall defender, great at clearing the ball, whereas Casey's shorter, but extremely intelligent player and very good on the ball, very dynamic. But the difference here is that Casey's got incredible speed and he was using that. So when they went down 2-1, Aguada made a tactical change. They moved Casey up into the central midfield. They moved Chris Suarez from right defense to central defense. And they brought in Danford Gomes on the right defense. So this meant a couple of things. First of all, it meant that Danford, who had actually sat out the entire first half, had to come into a game in the middle of the finals down 2-1 and play right defense. That means he was going against Craig, an incredibly difficult matchup for him and any defender in general. But the way Danford handled this is he realized, you know, I'm not going to fall for the tricks. I'm going to keep my eye on the player, keep my eye on the ball, and I'm not going to just let him run by me. So although Craig obviously still did deke by him sometimes because, you know, at some point you're just so talented, you're going to get by defenders no matter what. Danforth did have some notable stops and managed to keep Craig at bay as best as he could. What this led to is because Casey pushed up in the middle, he started running the show in the middle. Kreif pushed up a little bit more. He was able to interact with his forwards a little bit more. And this led to Steven Fernandez going down in the box after getting tackled for an Aguada penalty. Now, I was very vocal about Aaron Atwall's penalty in this game and last game, so I can't just let Aguada slide by either. Although this was a penalty, you could tell that Steven was kind of, you know, exaggerating the contact. It wasn't a dive necessarily. It's just that he got hit, but then he went down in a way to make sure that the referee was going to give him a penalty. It was very obvious. So this led to Aguada penalty, and Casey stepped up. And he put it to the left side and scored. So this was 2-2. And at this point, you're thinking, okay, maybe we're thinking overtime. We're thinking, you know, penalties. Aguada could have a chance. Because the goal was scored at around the 78th minute. So there were about 12 minutes to go. As soon as Aguada scored, boom, Casey dropped back to central defense. So their tactical switch was just to get a goal. And then they went back to their original lineup. So very smart tactics from Aguada. I was very impressed with their game plan. And I think that's what ultimately led to the win. What Lotelam had to do is when Aguada made this tactical switch, you're probably not going to win in the midfield because Kreif and Casey are both there. They had to use their wings and exploit Aguada's defense. Aguada's defense was missing Casey, so that's your best chance to go from 2-1 to 3-1. Try and rack up the goals as soon as you can. The thing is, credit to Aguada's defense, they were playing out of their minds. Not only their role players, but also some of the main people in their defense, such as Clayton, who had a game-saving tackle on a breakaway. He ran back and slid tackle and cleared the ball. Also, Durand, I've mentioned Danforth on the right side, but Durand on the left back was playing well the entire game, doing his best, winning the ball, making good tackles, and clearing the ball. So Aguada's defense was playing a very safe game, but a very, very strong game. So full credit goes to their defense. As the game continued, it was around the 88th minute exactly that the ball was just outside the 18-yard box, and it kept bouncing around. It was hitting one player. No one could really clear it. No one could really get control of the ball. And it fell to Jordash again, and he just one time hit it with his left foot, and it went to the far side past the goalie, just tipping at the last second. An absolute wonder strike from Jordash. I think even he was shocked, and the team was just going wild with the last minute winner. Totally unsavable, so not the goalie's fault at all. It was an incredible strike, and that's what it took to win this finals against Lotelam, was just an absolute one-of-a-kind wonder goal from Jordash. Almost right after this, the referee blew his whistle for the end of the game, and the Aguada fans were going wild. The Aguada team was going wild. They had just won their third championship, and I really felt for the Lotelam players and the fans because Lotelam had such a great season, finishing first overall, undefeated, and you could just tell they really, really wanted this championship. As I said last episode, Lotelam, although they've been so dominant for so long, people tend to forget they haven't won the championship since 2011, since absorbing all these other different teams. So you could tell they were dying to win a championship. I did feel really bad for them. But that being said, they have an extremely talented team. I'm sure they'll be in the running again next year. So a lot to look forward to from them, and an extremely talented team for sure. After the game, I conducted some post-match interviews, so let's get to those right now. Starting off with the captain of Lotelam, Ron Montero.
Result you wanted, a great game, a great effort from your team. How do you feel the game went overall, and what could have been different?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate the winners over there. Give them a round of applause. And second, I want to thank the best fans in the league. Everybody, congratulate them. And, you know, thanks to the league, Everest and his committee, and also for Wendell for announcing today's game. But to answer your question, I mean, these are two good teams. Could have gone either way, and, you know, Aguada played really well. But want to congratulate this team. They're all fantastic players, great guys. And Wendell, thank you very much.
Here with Jordash. Jordash, you're not known for your goal scoring. You're known for your hard work and your talent and your knowledge of the game. But today you turned up, two huge goals, including a last minute game winner. How did it feel, and what do you have to say?
I want to start off by saying that I'm really excited for coming to this game. The reason why is, truthfully, as bad as it sounds, I actually didn't know the game was today. So I'm going to be honest, right? So we have a group, a Aguada Waves group, and Lester assisted the goals and says, Jordash, please, you know, whatever you do, make sure you don't take that last shot. Before you're about to take that last shot, like last night, make sure you think about the game. And when I saw that, I said, the game? And then I said, oh shit, I didn't know the game was tomorrow. So I looked at the schedule, right? And I noticed the game was here. So I asked my GM, can I leave? And luckily I was happy to come here because you know what? It paid off.
All right, congrats, Jordash. All right, Crive. Third championship finals for you guys against the third undefeated team. 3-for-3 beating them. How do you guys pull this out every time in the finals?
First of all, I'd like to thank Lotulim. These guys are a class act. Give a round of applause. There's one team in the league that we always enjoy playing, and it's Lotulim. I think this year has been their most talented team. I don't even know how we pull this off, to be quite honest. This, out of all our three championships, I think this one is the hardest. I think this is probably the most talented team the league's ever seen in Lotulim. I think we just scrapped our way through this one. But I mean, it's hard work. I mean, all the guys for some reason just show up in the playoffs, and we haven't practiced probably in 5 or 6 years. So it's a little hard to have guys to come out, but it's hard work. Honestly, that's how we've pulled this off. It feels good to win a third championship. Hopefully more to come. We'd like to thank the league. Hopefully another team comes in next year. We can have 8 teams and, you know, keep it going strong. But this has been a great run league, and we've enjoyed it for the 20, 21 years? Something like that. So it's been great. But thanks for having us. It's great. And our fans, thank you.
Congrats, Iguana.
So that's right. Jordash didn't even know there was a game that day until the night before while out drinking, and he shows up, scores 2 goals, and wins Iguana their third GSL championship. So huge props to Iguana. And I got to name something officially, and that is that Iguana is for real. I guess I just have to stop being one of the doubters. I've been a doubter for so long, but they've won 3 championships now and been to the finals 5 times in either the last 7 or 8 years. So they're really, really consistently turning up. So enough of the haters, enough of the doubters, including myself. Iguana is for real, and congrats to them on their championship. One last snipe at Iguana, though, is going to be the most outrageous, I guess, celebration you would call it. After the game was over, we were giving out the trophies that I'm about to get into. And then when I announced the Iguana team to come up to receive their medals, Croydon randomly brought both speakers and walks up and drops the both speakers next to the trophies so that Drake is playing while they all go up one by one to receive their medals. Like, it was the most unnecessary celebration / best celebration I've ever seen. And it just goes to show Iguana is the type of team, they just do whatever they want. They don't care about traditions. They don't care about the status quo. They're going to do what they want, and they're winning. So huge props to them, and just a hilarious celebration. All right, that's it for the finals recap. I'll just give a rundown of all the awards that were presented at the finals. So the Maria Caleb Trophy for the division winners was won by Aldana SC. The Aero Tours Trophy for the league winners was won by Lotulim Goatees. The GSL trophy for the best sporting team was won by Iguana, who only had 5 yellow cards the whole year. The CP Rados trophy for the best defensive team was won by Lotulim Goatees, who had 7 goals against. The DeMeo J. Lobo trophy for the highest scorer, also known as the Golden Boot, was won by Nicholas Green from Lotulim with 11 goals. The Dominic D'Souza trophy for the junior MVP was won by Carlin DeMello of Mopsa. And I'm just going to take a little bit of a side note here. We need to get rid of this junior MVP award. I think it might have been useful in the past when the league was mostly older players and there were only a few young people. So you were trying to say, who's that young budding star? But honestly, these days, I really feel like most people don't really know all the young players. They don't know who's who. And it's just a random award I find each year. So personally, I think they should get rid of junior MVP and just have one MVP that everyone's eligible for in the whole league. But that's just my 2 cents. The GKT trophy for the playoff finalists goes to Lotulim. The Fernando Barreto trophy for the MVP. So interestingly enough, this year the MVP was a tie in the first round of voting. So the executive had to ask everyone to vote a second time between those players that tied. And coming out on top in the second ballot was Neil Da Silva from Lotulim. So a deserving winner. He had a great season. I think it could have gone to him or Crife. I think if we knew what happened in the finals, emotion would have, you know, told you to give it to Crife. But as I said, Neil had a great season and the entire season. This is an award for MVP of the whole year, not just the finals. So I think he was well deserving, and I think he would have got my personal vote too. And lastly, the Guadencio Fernandez Memorial Trophy for the playoff winners goes to your Iguana Waves. All right, that's it for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it and enjoyed the first season of the GSL podcast. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss you guys over the winter break. We'll be back next year around May or June, depending on when the league starts. And rather than just say bye, I'm going to leave you all with one of your favorite segments. Here's another open letter to say goodbye to the GSL podcast. And I'll see you guys next year. Dear GSL championship game flyer designer person, please, please, please never design a flyer like this one ever again. For those of you who haven't seen the flyer, it features Come One, Come All to support your village and young Goan budding stars, Lotlum Goatees versus Aguado Waves. But then it features two pictures of Lionel Messi in a Barcelona jersey with a lightning storm in the background. I get what you were going for. You thought, you know, one of the most recognizable players on the planet, one of the best players in the world with lightning. It shows flash, it shows excitement. But this just doesn't make sense on so many levels. First of all, Lionel Messi has nothing to do with Goa or the GSL. Secondly, no one even uses these Barcelona jerseys, so it's not even like it represents a team. And finally, if there was lightning in the background, the GSL finals would be canceled. That is a health hazard, and the referee would not allow the teams to play. So, GSL championship flyer designer guy, please, please, next year, put a sun in the background, put nice weather, and put some pictures of some Goan Soccer League players. Love, the GSL podcast.